in February is the first day of Chinese New Year. Okay. Yes. 16. Okay. All right. So you do know something about me. That's good. All right. So we are right in between, between the Western and the Chinese New Year's. Being Asian, being Chinese in particular, we are really blessed. Every year we have two New Year's. Okay. If you miss one, you have another one. If you can have both, you get the best in the world. And so that is the reason why I bring you the New Year reading. But there's another reason why I want to bring you that reading the second time. And that is because I want to capture the theme of the New Year, usually when people enter into New Year, they have new hope, they have a new plan or whatever. And being Chinese, being Asian, New Year is all about blessing, good things, So I want to capture the theme of blessing. And that is the reason why I have chosen to share with you Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. And my plan, God willing, is to take the time to go through the first 12 verses of Matthew 5 with you. Not today, but today is part of, in my mind, in my plan, I have four messages. But, I don't know whether I'll be able to do that, but we'll just give it a try, and if God allows, then I'll be here, and I'll be walking you through the first 12 verses of Matthew 5. And I also would like to let you know one thing about, this message is, especially as we are, like I said, as we are in the new year. I want to start off this year by letting you know the mind of God, okay? What I mean is, what kind of mindset that God has for us, His people. And I want to use one Bible verse taken from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, to let you know about the mind of God toward His people. And this is what the Bible said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future." Just as being Asian, being Chinese, we have new hope, we have new aspiration for New Year. And I think God is thinking about a similar thing too. Meaning that in this New Year, His desire, His plan is to bless His people. His plan is to lead us onward. His plan is to help us. His plan is to walk with us. Of course, sometimes God may have to discipline us. That is depending on whether we are following Him or not. But if you trace the thing all the way back to the beginning, the original plan of God is not just to punish, it's not just to discipline, but it's to bless, it's to lead, it's to be with us. And I want to capture that because we're at the very beginning of the year, and I want you to know that this is where the heart of God is. And this is what He wants with us in our relationship. And everything depends on our response to Him, of course. If we obey, then His blessing will continue to pour out to the various parts of our life. But if we choose not to obey, God will do something else. But nevertheless, God's original heart, just like a father, just like a parent, is to take care of His children, is to lead them onward, is to bless them, is to see them doing well. We're not talking about prosperity gospel, but there's a place for blessing. And this is where I come from. And that's why I want to take the time to listen to the first lessons. If you know something about the first 12 verses of Matthew 5, you know that this section of the Bible is called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, the word Beatitudes is actually from Latin, meaning blessing. Okay? So these 12 verses is all about blessings. And we want to know, the part that we know for sure is God wants to bless us. But the part we need to find out is, how can we be blessed? And that is where I come in. That is where I want to work through the first two blessings, take time to reflect on it, and see how we can finally, with the help of God, arrive at the state where God will have to bless us. Just want to give you quick background information about what I'm going to say. The 12 verses of Matthew 5 is the introduction of a larger part of the scripture, which is Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. In fact, in the entire Matthew Gospel, there are five different places within the Gospels where Matthew recorded an extended either preaching or teaching of Jesus. Okay? You'll be able to find five in the Gospel of Matthew. And the first one, the first extended preaching or teaching of Jesus, and it is also the most famous one called the Sermon on the Mount, is actually Matthew chapters 5 to 7. So we are entering into an extended teaching of Jesus, an extended preaching of Jesus to us about God, about our relationship with Him, about how we are to be His witnesses, how we can bring glory to Him. And at the beginning of His teaching and preaching, He began His teaching by saying eight items of blessings, which is come to know as the eight blessings in the Chinese translation. So, this is how it begins. I want to bless you. My intention is to bless you. And then after saying how we can be blessed, and He will go on and spell out in detail how we are to live our life so that we can receive the blessings from Him. So, without any further, this is my two main points that I want to leave with you. The first main point, I believe, coming from the first blessing, is to teach and encourage us to commit, not just to know, but to commit our lives to the what I call the less of me, more of Jesus lifestyle. I'll come back to that later to explain to you what I mean, okay? But the main point is, after hearing the first blessings, we are to commit to the less of me and more of Jesus lifestyle. Main point number two is about mourning. It's about we need to come periodically. We need to learn to mourn over our spiritual bankruptcy. These are the main two points. Now, back to the first main point, which is what Jesus said, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Perhaps you don't see, what are you talking about? I don't see the thing that you just mentioned. What is that, less of me, more of Jesus? Well, there are three things in the first blessing that you need to know. Number one, you need to know about the meaning when Jesus said, blessed are the poor of the spirit. What does it mean? Okay? And then you need to know, not only need to know the meaning, you also need to know that after understanding the meaning, you need to know that this could be where you are spiritually. And the number three thing you need to know is, having understood the meaning, having understood where you are spiritually, you are to respond based on what you know. Okay? So those are the three things. So they're all coming from the little phrase called poor in spirit. Okay? So what does it mean? It has the twofold of meanings, meaning it has the meaning on both sides. On the one hand, poor in spirit means we have this lacking. And this lacking we are talking about is the extreme lacking. It's sort of like an extreme bankruptcy. That means you're not just poor, but you are in extreme state of poverty. You have nothing. It's not that I have little, but I'm poor. No. This word means you have nothing. This is the extreme poverty that we're talking about. But that is only one part of the meaning. The other part of the meaning is, in addition to how extremely poor you are, you also find that you are in the total inability to do anything about it. Step back. Okay? First is, I'm poor. I'm dirt poor. I'm very poor. I'm extremely poor. But the second worst thing is, I can't do anything about it. I wish I could do anything. I wish I could talk to people or lend some money or go to the bank or whatever. But I have no ability. I'm in that total inability of doing nothing. That is what the word, that is what the phrase poor in spirit means. That speaks to the darkness or to the rock bottom realization of ourselves. And we're talking about our spirits, right? We as human beings, sometimes we always project some good thing about us. We're not the best, but at least we're not the worst. We may not be very, very outstanding, but at least I'm the normal guy. I'm the ordinary people. But spiritually speaking, Jesus said, I understand that you're not the best. I understand that you're not outstanding. But I want to tell you bad news. You're even worse than all the ordinary. You're in rock bottom. And even worse than that, you can't do anything about it. You, by your own strength, there's nothing you can do. You're that bad. And it is hard for us to have that honest look at ourselves. Perhaps you have not arrived at that, okay? I'm not trying to push you there. But there will come a time, maybe through sickness, maybe through losing jobs or accident or whatever, you come to realize that I'm really powerless. I'm in the extreme form of powerless. And that is the realization that we need to come to terms with sometimes. And that is not the end. Knowing this is one thing, but to own that thing and agree or accept that this is me is another thing. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He didn't just talk about the meaning of poor in spirit. He was also referring to people who, by understanding what that means, now they come to see that, oh, this is me. And that takes courage. That takes courage to admit, I am that person. I am that powerless. I am that useless. I am that dirt poor. I am, not them, not you, me. I am that person. And because of that realization, and because of that acknowledgement of how poor we are, we reach out to God and say, God, I can only depend on you. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's because these people, they understood what that means. They owned that to themselves. This is me. And they turned to God and say, God, I can't do anything. That's why I learned to trust you, and I trust you completely. We just sang a song, I trust you alone. I don't trust anyone else. I don't trust anything else, but I will trust you alone. And when you do that, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that is where the less of me, more of Jesus comes in. Why? Because as you see this is who you are, as you see that you're so powerless, you become humble yourself. You will humble yourself. You make yourself small. And that is less of you. And as you shrink, spiritually speaking, as you become less of you, then God is able to do more in your life. And that is where more of Jesus comes in. That's why, after understanding all this about what Jesus said, next slide, I like the way the Message Bible translate Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And this is how Eugene Peterson said, you are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. What is the secret of Christian life? Answer. We come to terms with who we really are. We agree with who we really are. And we acknowledge that we need to shrink back. And as we shrink back, God said, I will fill you. The more we shrink, the more God is able to say, I will fill you. I will use you. I will work through you. All the Bible characters that you have known since you were a child in the church, the secret of their success is is this: less of them, and at the same time, more of God. Next slide. I want you to read that story, okay? So on three, all of you read on the screen, okay? Ready? One, two, three. It's funny how God is not only teaching us the spiritual principle, but in His people's life, time and time again, He worked through real life circumstances to reinforce that spiritual principle. And the verses that you just read on the screen is just one of gazillion examples in the Bible. The background of this is the Israelite, because of the disobedience to God, so God allowed a foreign nation called the Median to rule over them, and because of that, they were really dirt poor. Okay, they were harassed, they were in very, very bad shape, and they cry out to God. Eventually, the Israelite, and then God sent them a judge named Gideon. The story of this is the Israelite, led by Gideon, they were about to be at war with the Midianites, and God said, at that time, you know that they have, the end of the story is, at the end of the selection process, Gideon only have 300 men to fight with the Midianites. Okay? The number of the Midianite is tens of thousands. And God said, you only take 300. The original number is around 30, 33 something. Okay, in the Israelite side. So from 30-something, the number, God purposely cut those numbers down. First, He cut off 22,000, and then that left the Israelite down to 10,000, and from 10,000 to 300. Okay? Why did He do that? Just to make a point. I want you guys, meaning God was telling His people, I want you guys to know, the reason why you will win this war is not because of you. It's because of me. How did He do that? I don't want that many men. From 30,000 plus down to 10,000, and from 10,000 down to 300. And God said to Gideon, that is the number of men that you will need to fight against the Midianite. And if you know the story, you know that they won. But if you conclude, if you have to do an evaluation of the story, who won? What was the major factor? Gideon, the 300 men, or God? It's so clear. It's God. Because humanly speaking, how can 300 men win a battle against tens of thousands of men on the other side? Impossible. But God is the expert of the impossible. And that is why He wants to work through that story to teach the Israelite in His time, also teaching us in our time today. I want you to be less of you in your life so that I can be more in your life. And when I do that, you will see victory after victory that only I can do through you. And Jesus said, if you live this kind of life, you are blessed, for the kingdom of God is yours. So how can we even put that in a more practical thing? Next slide. Those are the two things that I can come up with. But I want to share with you two of my own examples, okay? Some of you may turn on by this, but I tell you two of my examples. Number one, 12 years ago, more than 12 years ago, when I applied for an English pastor position. I still remember, I went to a school, not this one, and I preached there, and then after that, we had an interview with the leaders. And I still remember one of the questions that were addressed to me was this. You were applying for an English pastor position, and you were a senior pastor. Are you okay with that? That was the question. You are applying for an English pastor position here, but you were a senior pastor before. Are you okay with that? I didn't give any thought at the time. Now that I look back, why do I tell you this story? It's because there's a truth to it. It's easier for us human beings to go from low to high, to be nobody to a leader. But it's hard to be a leader to come down. Are you with me? It's hard. It's easier to go up, but when you're up, you need to come down. It's hard. And that sometimes is human nature. We want to go up. It's okay. There's nothing wrong about going up. But the thing is, can you also come down? A lot of us, including me, we can go up, but we cannot come down. We want to be there. We want to stay there. We want to be known there. We want to be addressed there. And we cannot come down. And as we continue to occupy the place, wanting more and more, bigger and bigger in our life, then God is smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Now that I think back that question 12 years ago, I didn't give any thought to it at the time. But now I see the truth. The truth is, you can go as high as you want, but can you come down? When it is time to come down, can you do that? Can you be comfortable with just being an ordinary person? After being a leader, after going on the top, is it okay? That is what God is asking us. That is probably some of the things that you need to face in your life too. Second thing. This is also something that I have learned lately. You know that, you know, I've been out of work. Not out of work, but I haven't been working for a while. So this story comes with two needs. That is what I call the additional needs. So every month I have the regular needs. And sometimes when some unknown thing happens, there's additional needs. So this story is about two additional needs. Not the regular needs. Okay? I'm not going to tell you in specific thing. Two unpredicted things happen. So two specific needs in addition to the regular needs. The thing I learned is, I learned to pray for the two specific needs. And when I pray, I also decide not to tell anyone about the two specific needs. I just pray and I decide not to tell anyone. I just live my life as if, you know, just like every day. But deep in my heart, I know that there's this special needs. So my decision is, I'm not going to tell anyone about that need. And second thing is, I'm going to pray for that need, that two needs. And what I've learned is, God didn't just meet those needs. He was able to meet those needs far and beyond. And that's what I want to let you know, that sometimes less of us, then more of God will come. And I want you to know what you can take from the second question, from the second examples I give you is, next time when there's something happen in your life, before you shoot out that text or WeChat, before you pick up the phone, before you contact any person, can you at least give you some time, quick time, just to pray first? And as you pray, you let God know that this is my need, or this is my decision. Can you please direct me the way I need to go? Pray that prayer first, before you type the text, before you shoot the WeChat, before you pick up the phone, before you talk to anyone. Make this a habit. Why? Because when you acknowledge God, that means less of you. Then God said, I'll fill you more of him. Try this. Alright? And you already know the result, because he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Alright? So let's move on. Number two. Now, you need to understand the second blessing and the first blessing. They are like the two sides of the same coin. They're not talking about two different things. They're talking about the same thing, but looking at it on two sides. And just in case you misunderstand what I'm saying, the second blessing is more focused on the emotional side, while the first one is focusing on the decision side, okay? Because in the first blessing, I have already said, that person understood what it means, accept what that is, and reach out to God and say, God, I totally depend on you. That is the decision side. Now, the second blessing is talking about the emotional side, meaning as you are doing this, you will also go through that emotionally and how you are to deal with that emotionally. Okay? This is what Jesus said. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you know how poor you are spiritually, if you have the courage to own and say, this is me, emotionally, you will not be happy. You will feel kind of sad. Right? If you have the courage, have the honesty to look at the real you, you will feel sad about yourself sometimes. And this is where this comes in. The word mourn, I want you to know two things. The first thing is, the word mourn in the Bible, in the Greek language, is the strongest word that you can find in the Greek world describing a person who is mourning. It's not just I'm crying, I'm sad. It's actually I have deep sorrow. Okay? And good example is when the Bible uses this word mourn, it is usually used to describe a person crying for a loved one. And you feel that name yourself. Or a biblical example is after Joseph died, you know that Jacob loved Joseph, right? Even though he has 12 sons, or by the time that time he only had 11. Even though he already had 11, but he only loved Joseph. And when Joseph died, Jacob mourned for him, using that word. People tried to comfort him, people tried to console him. He didn't want anything. He just kept crying, and he was in a deep sorrow. It was the strongest word that you can find to describe a person who is really mourning for something that he or she loves. And that something that he or she loves is you. You love yourself, but you see the ugliest side of yourself. Ah, how can I live with that? I love myself, but at the same time, I feel so bad about who I am, you know, spiritually speaking. It is that kind of way. And the second thing you need to know is, I've already talked about this, is the mourning is directed toward the person or things that you love. It is not any ordinary thing. Can you just imagine what are the things that you love? Maybe your phone, maybe a check, your bank account, I don't know what you love. Can you imagine the person that you love the most? Now, that person or that thing is separated from you. Talking about that deep sadness, mourning, and that is what we're talking about here. Alright? So, we go through that deep sorrow because we see who we really are. Sometimes there is this sort of, I cannot believe this is me. Sometimes the sorrow has to do with, I cannot believe this is me. I thought I'm like this, but with the help of God, with the help of God's word, this is who I am. This is how sinful I am. I cannot accept this is me. That is where the sorrow comes in. Sometimes the sorrow has to do with, I'm in deep sorrow because I don't know that I have caused the grief of God. I don't know that I'm that sinful. And because of me, Jesus will have to die for my sins on the cross. And that deep sorrow comes to you. But God said, good news. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I want to show you one verse. Next slide. I want you to see it yourself. This is taken from the Bible, from Psalm 51, verse 17. This is what God said. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. This is the good news. We saw the real us. We're not happy. We hate ourselves. We're sorrow. We're in deep contrition. And at that time, God said, let me come and replace that with myself in your life. Let me comfort you. Meaning, let me come and replace the real you that you see. Let me replace that with myself. And let me comfort you. That is the good news. There's another one from Isaiah 57, verse 15. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Good news. We are sad. We are crying. We are in mourning. But God said, give it to me. Let me replace that with myself. And let me comfort you. That is where the freedom comes in. I don't have to keep on grieving, keep on mourning about me, but now I have a new replacement. It's better than what used to be. That new replacement is called God. And God said, I will come in and I will comfort you. More than that, I'm going to lead you from now on for the rest of your life. That's why we are blessed. We don't need to be controlled. We don't need to be influenced by the old we. But now, God said, watch. Watch what I can do with you. An example of that is the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, this is what Paul said about him. What is more, I consider everything a loss, meaning his old self, loss too. His achievement, loss too. Whatever he has accumulated for himself up to that point, loss. It's okay with him. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. You lost whatever you so dear, but you receive something better. Better than whatever you have ever received up to your life right now. Pause at that. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And if you take a look at his life, he was living the kind of life that God is dreaming to give each one of us here. That is not just a life for Paul. That is just a model. That is just one reference for us to see that if we, like Paul, doing the less of me, the more of His stuff, if we cry and give over our sorrow to God and allow God to come in and replace and comfort us, that is also the kind of life that you and I are living for the rest of your life. Isn't it good? Isn't it good news? That's why it is called blessings. And this is what God wants. From the very beginning, this is what I have for you. And I want you to have that. And just to make sure that you get the point, I want to begin my extended preaching with the blessings first. I let you know the end, I let you know the end result. I let you know the end game first before leading you through how you can achieve that. This is what we need to hear today. And we are presented with a choice, with a decision. The decision is, I continue to live my life according to what I want, according to the time I want, what I want, where I want, or I come to see the real me. You know, there are a lot of, I like this simple definition of the word sin, S-I-N, okay? What is the problem? What is the key of sin? Well, just look at S-I-N, what is the middle letter? What's the middle letter? I. So, if you're talking about sin, what is the key of that problem? I am the problem. As I am the problem. Do you have that courage to admit that, even though you say, I'm already a Christian? But there's still a lot of room for improvement, right? There's still times that sometimes you see your I is so big in your life that you think you're doing something great, but the thing is, from God's point of view, you're actually stopping Him from doing whatever He wants through you. He cannot do it. Why? You're too big. I am too big. Unless we realize I am the problem and I need to shrink. I'm not getting bigger and bigger and bigger. No, I'm getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The most famous statement John the Baptist has ever made is, I must decrease, He must increase. I hope that this will be your life verse as well. I must decrease so that He can increase. Christian life is all about this. You want to live a blessed life? That's it. That's it. You want to walk with God every day? That's it. If you can master this, your life will be so different than what it is today. And I want to challenge and encourage you. Together, let's do this. Let's take a hard look at ourselves. Let's have a glimpse of who we really are under the light of God. Yes, we may be shedding some tears. We may be unexpected. We may not be shocked by what we see. But we already know the end game. God said, give it to me. Give it to me. Allow me. Allow me. And let me show you what I can do when you give me your life. We're not done. This is only the first two blessings. But I hope that I have said enough to get you thinking about how you can be better this year in your relationship with God. Remember, God's idea is to bless us. But in order for us to receive that blessings, we have to do what He tells us. And if we choose to do what He tells, choose not to do what He tells us, He will tell you. And sometimes He will discipline you. That's sometimes He will remind you. And his intention is to bring us back. So that instead of being disciplined, being judged, being punished, His idea is, I want to bless you. Would you like to be blessed this year? Then walk with Him. And work with Him. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for what You have done. Thank You for placing that blessing right at the beginning of Your teaching.
so that we know so big, so clear that you want to bless us. It is your desire to bless the people. Father, help us not only to be encouraged by your intention, but because of this, it gives us motivation to listen to what you have to say, so that as we understand and follow what you teach us, we will be blessed. We will be blessed as an individual, we will be blessed as a family, we will be blessed as a church. We want this church to be blessed. We want people see this church is a blessed church, so that they will come into this church and ask the question, how come you're so blessed? What have you done? How can I do it? Can you show me the way? And through this, we can show people the way to Jesus. That is the function of the church, to point people to Jesus so that they too can learn to do things so that they will be blessed by the same God that we all believe in. We're so thankful for your heart for us. Thank you once again for your love. Thank you for not really care. It's not you care about our sins, but you're willing to go beyond the sin to reach out to us and say, I want to do something good with you. And for that, we just want to give you thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.